Welcome to the Louisiana Delta Crop Podcast, covering agriculture and all things related in West Carroll, Morehouse, East Carroll, Madison, Tensaw, Concordia, and Catahoula parishes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Louisiana Delta Crop Podcast. Today is going to be an interesting episode and a sad one. Today is Bruce's retirement party, and I'm in the room with Bruce and Dennis, and we're going to record a little podcast and talk about, I guess, your, time span with the Ag Center.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
How long have you been working for the Ag Center?
23 years. I started working. I've got 33 years in teacher retirement. I started with Washtenaw Parish School Board back in the late 90s and got in the 90s, I guess, and came to work with the Ag Center. And then I put 22 and some change. Started out actually working on computers with the Ag Center, was a regional tech doing support work in North Louisiana, and then promptly got moved to South Louisiana. And while I was housed in the Lafayette Parish office, and I've had one of those weird careers. I think I've been in every parish office in the state of Louisiana, research and office.
So that's kind of cool, because
you don't realize until you start talking to people and say, "Oh, yeah, Sunchurch Parish. Well, yeah, I've been there." Mm-hmm. Well, how have you been to all these? when you worked on computers, regional tech, you end up going everywhere. And then worked on campus. I don't know if it was promoted or punished.
Punished. Funny answer to that. Yeah. Punished.
And I worked on campus for about 4 years, four and a half years. And then was able to come home to North Louisiana. Dr. Paul Correll, who was at the time the director of extension, came in my last day on campus and said, "If you'll ever want to come back to work for the Ag Center, I'll hire you back." And I, at that point in time, I was like, "Dr. Correll, I am so done with working on computers. I don't think." He said, "No, I'll hire you back as a county agent." I said, "I'm not much up on that." And I actually came home and brokered rice and worked brokering rice for about 6, 8, 10 months. And that was about the time the global economics of rice exporting took a huge hit when the European banking crisis took place, and was ended up, I got a phone call one afternoon from Dr. Correll. He said, "Hey, I just want to check in with you." I said, "Yeah." He said, "We've got a grant there in Morehouse and West Carroll Parish that we're trying to hire somebody to work that grant." And I said, "Well, how long is the grant good for?" He said, "Well, it's a 2-year project." I think, well, you know, at that time I had like 18, 19 years in teacher retirement. Mm-hmm. I said, "You know, I could do that for a couple of years and then be able to kind of move on to something else." So I took the opportunity to come back to Ag Center. I had a whopping 7-month hiatus. Yeah, enough time to get IT out of my system and come back working in extension. And shortly after I came back, Merle Sistrunk, the county agent here in West Carroll, announced his retirement. And I had a chance to see Dr. Correll at a meeting. I can't remember if it was in Baton Rouge or it was up here. And Dr. Correll's comment to me was, "You know, Merle's going to retire." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, you're going to apply for that county agent position." And I took that as a question. You know, are you going to apply? I said, "Well, you know, doctor, I don't really know if I'm county agent material." He said, "You completely misunderstood me. That was not a question, son." That's, you know, you're going to apply for that position. So I applied, and that was about 15 years ago, and I've been a county agent here in West Carroll ever since, and been it's been a wild ride.
I remember when you came, obviously, but I couldn't remember what year it was or when.
Let me think. It would have been 2010, I think.
Before we did the irrigation project.
Yeah. Yep.
The year before that, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I came back to North Louisiana in 2010. Okay. And, you know, we jokingly talk about the Ag Center being a big dysfunctional family, and it is. I mean, you know, you work with the same people throughout the year and throughout your career, and it gets to be a, you know, a family relationship. I've had the same secretary here in West Carroll for the past 9 years, and you know, she told me the other day, she's like, I guess I'm gonna be the last one left standing. I said, no, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the trek to being a county agent is one of those things. It's kind of from a cool historical standpoint, and bear with me with this. My dad was a World War II veteran. He was drafted into the Navy in 1943. And he actually was an electronics repair technician in the Navy. He actually worked on some of the earliest computers, targeting computers. Mm-hmm. And I found that out about 20 years ago that my dad was one of the first computer technicians in, you know, in existence. But yet he came back and he farmed. So my career kind of has, you know, reflected what my dad's career is. I started out working in technology and ended up working with farmers. And my dad started out working with technology and ended up farming. My dad was killed in a farming accident in 1968. So my mom was not too enthralled about her two sons working in agriculture. And neither one of us really did. We never really worked on the farm, but we sure got close to it. Mm-hmm. My brother, when he retired out of the Air Force, came home and worked at Cotton Compress and worked around worked for different farmers. And when I got out of the Army and came home, went to college and went to work for the Ag Center eventually. So my mother said one day, she said, you know, you boys never went against me on that. She said, y'all both got as close to it as you could. So yeah, Mom, that was kind of what we did.
It's kind of what we do around here.
Yeah.
You know,
if you think about agriculture in the South, if you're not directly involved in it, I can assure you that you're indirectly involved. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's where we live. I mean, if you farm, you have agriculture, and like in Tensaw Parish, if you're you farm, or you're connected to it, or you're unemployed.
That's right.
That's pretty much it. Or you're like me, you're retired.
You're retired. Well, you know, it's...
Oh, and I just got a text from R.L. We're missing R.L. Frazier today. And you talk about being back in ag. Well, R.L. retired whatever he did last year.
Yeah.
And he just sent me a text and said, I can't be there. I'm hauling corn. So he... And he's funny because... He drove tractor last year,
mm-hmm.
And he would call me and say, "I said, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just laying on my phone." He said, "I'm on a tractor with auto steer, and I just go from one end to the other and back." But it's fun. But he's talking about getting back to ag. Well, yep. he's retired now. He's driving a truck.
Come right. You know, it's jokingly saying, you know, the careers that we have. You know, chosen, it's like the mafia. You think you're going to get away from it, it just drags you
right.
back.
That's
you
right.
But that goes along. I mean, I'm retiring. I like to think I'm still relatively young. My wife is sitting at the end of the table giving me the stink eye, but the truth is I'm relatively young. My next part of my life will be I'm going to teach ag at a high school. So I'm going to be an ag instructor and teaching ag literacy and ag finance and teaching chemistry. I've got a chemistry background. I'm one of those weird people that kind of enjoyed chemistry in college. I mean, it was just something about it. So
I'm glad there are people like you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it was just when I took chemistry, it was like, oh God, I got to take chemistry. Let me get through.
Well, I had a chemistry teacher in high school, and that was Mr. R.R. Ford, and he talked about the elegance of chemistry. And to a high school student, there was no elegance in chemistry. But by the time I got into college and started taking some inorganic chemistries and, you know, some chemistries and having some pretty good teachers, you know, chemistry instructors, I started seeing the elegance in chemistry. And there's some pretty cool things about it. Now, you talk to me this time next year after I've had a year to teach it to high school.
Yeah.
It may be a totally different conversation for me at that time.
You'll have a good time.
I think so.
Fun.
Yep.
But you know, it's a it's fun to say that, you know, you've been a county agent, and I would kick this to anybody that if they're interested in a career in agriculture, and you're a younger person, it's not a bad career field. It's not an easy, I'll be the other side of it. It's not an easy career field. There's a lot of frustrations to it, but it's all doable. The cool thing about it is you get to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's that you find your passion in whatever part of agriculture that you enjoy, and that's what you work on. You still got other things you got to do, but that's you get to do what you.
Well, it was. I always liked it because when you come in today, I'm gonna do somebody's garden or somebody's row crop or it was always something different.
It's rarely to have 2 days in a row.
I think that would be my favorite thing about it. Different. You'll be working with kids one day, mm-hmm. and then you'll be working it with grown adults the next. Or, you know, it's always changing.
It's very rarely are you going to do the same thing.
Exactly.
And it is changing from year to year as we have varieties, techniques, agronomy, the whole nine yards. Everything is changing. It's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're constantly having to learn something new. And
yeah,
so.
You've got to be a lifelong learner. You bring that up, talking about the different things. I was going through some old file cabinets and going through some records that were from the 60s and looking at it and going, you know, some of this stuff is still really good information. Mm-hmm. Some of it not so much. But, you know, if you think about agriculture as a whole, what do? We put a seed in the ground and we hope that it comes up and we can reap something off of it. The basis of it stays the same. Now, how we do that, you know, is the equipment size and the chemicals that we use. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting reading over some stuff that was from the late 60s, early 70s on weed control.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about how we controlled weeds in the 60s and 70s, it was coal steel. Really didn't have to worry about resistance. If it resisted that, you know, that cold steel, you had a tree.
Yeah.
Things have changed over the years. It's very fluid, and we've all worked together. There was all of us together. We did a lot of projects. We did the irrigation thing. That was our first big one.
Was irrigation. And then that kind of morphed into to rice, talking about rice, row rice. And rice irrigation.
The
YouTube
and the videos, the YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's where technology, you know, it's where technology meets education.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool about it, because if you think about the row rice work we did. We're looking at technologies,
yeah.
and what worked and what didn't work. We found out a lot of stuff that did not work.
Well, that's, you know, and I told somebody not long ago, we were talking about the research station. I said, well, sometimes we fail badly, but that's good,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
it saves the producers. Yeah.
I don't want to say it saves them from snake oil, but I would rather. And I've said this all my career, I would rather us do something on a research station and realize that, golly, that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then you get one, okay, that's pretty interesting, that might work.
And things we used to do, and we've all done them, where you took something they did on the station, it worked, and then you moved it to a producer's field. And sometimes it worked. Sometimes you just modified it to make it work.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just didn't work.
When you start scaling up techniques and different things.
What goes from a 50-foot row to a 1,000-foot row, things change.
They
happen a lot faster.
And it's strange strangely enough, some of the stuff we've talked about, you know, on paper, it seems like a great idea, and you bounce it around, and you say, well, this is going to work, and then you get into the field and realize it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the story, and I've told it before. It goes back away. It was an interview I saw. It was with Mike Tyson, and it's one of my favorite quotes. He was fighting Evander Holyfield, and you know, at this point in time in Tyson's career, he had had, I don't know, 48 knockouts or whatever. He was just a beast. And the interviewer said, you know, Mike, Mr. Tyson, Evander Holyfield says that he has a plan to beat you. And Mike Tyson's reply was, well, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's true.
So I say that because sometimes we have a plan, have a good plan, it looks really good, you know, until it gets punched in the face with reality. So, you know.
Right. But you adapt and move on, and
you just figure out that, hey, this didn't work, we'll figure out something else.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just abandon it and it ain't gonna work, so we'll just move on somewhere else.
And what's cool about it is when you have those things that it doesn't work, and you have a producer that comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and you say, well, hold on, let me talk to you about something we did on station. Mm-hmm. And I've done that with some guys. They want to try something. I was like, you know, we did this on station, and it really didn't go the way we thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what happened? And you kind of play it out to them. You say, well, no, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. But and things have changed too now with extension, with more electronic stuff. Like you were talking about old time. I can remember when Charlie James was the Chenzo County agent, long time. He sent postcards every week, mm-hmm. or a couple times a week, they'd have insects on them, or they'd have like recommendations for herbicides. And now it's just a click and a button.
Yeah.
And everything goes to text or
email or Google it.
Or just Dr. Google works.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the scary thing. And I say this about, and as kind of a warning to folks, is that, you know, the AI technologies that are out there, you know, be careful where you're getting your information from.
Mm-hmm.
We've always, in extension, with it, kind of the mantra is it has to be research based.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got guys, we got people out on the internet that are putting information out, and if you look at where the information is coming from, it's not necessarily coming from a research-based organization. It may be coming from a vendor or somebody that's wanting to sell something.
Well, yeah.
So that's that. I kind of like to drive that home with folks. Is hey, just because Google says doesn't mean it's.
If you read it on Facebook, it may not.
Yeah, you read it on Facebook.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, you can get some wild ideas from some people on there.
And you were talking about the AI thing, You look at Facebook, and it's funny. You're trying to figure out, is this AI or is this real?
You're right.
It looks real.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds real.
Mm-hmm.
There are some tools out there that used to would have to run on a computer the size of a school bus, that now that same technology is in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not to shift gears or to grind gears too hard, but you know, here in the northeast part of the state, we're seeing property values get stupid. And you say, well, what does that have to do with AI? Well, in that part of the world, you've got the Meta Center, as it's been called over Richland Parish, that you've got property being taken out of production because the values are so much higher. I mean, I've heard people talk about farm ag ground, $30,000 an acre and up. And this ground is being pulled out of production, and it's being utilized for what's going to be industrial purposes for these huge data centers and electrical generation plants. And I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff coming out, talking about this company, that company coming in, going to do this, going to do that.
Well,
And it's affecting even, I'm in West Carroll Parish. We're, 40, 50 miles away from it. But what's happening is folks have sold their ground. And Uncle Sam is sitting on the sidelines going, there's this little thing called capital gains.
Yeah.
And if you don't take that money and put it back into some ground or put it back into something, you're going to give a whole bunch of it to me.
That's right.
So what's happening is we're seeing guys come up, entities coming up and wanting to buy ground in West Carroll Parish on the north end of the parish and in East Carroll Parish and in Morehouse Parish and probably even down in y'all's neck of the woods.
I mean, it's for sale.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I think, property values are going to get, I hope they don't get skewed more than they already have been.
You're talking about the data center, and I don't know if you noticed it, Kyle. You came from 17.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a little sign that says PP something GI.
Oh, that's the other thing going on in West Carolina.
I know what that was. Yeah.
And then
That is, we got a pipeline being replaced here in the parish. And it's starting up in the north end of West Carroll Parish, and it's actually going, the first stage goes down to Dunn, and then a Holly Ridge in the Dunn area, and then there's a second phase and a third phase. So it's the continuation of a pipeline. But that's what the PGI, that's the access roads. And they're actually taking some ground out of production here in the parish this year for putting pipeline down. There's a lot going on. I thought you were going to say that you coming through Epps or coming through from Del High.
Slowed down.
You've seen the
me too.
the little pop up RV parks along the way where somebody has put in an RV park and they put in 10 spaces and they're charging $800 a month. And there's waiting lists for these guys because of all these
people coming here working.
Coming and working. Hmm. The pipeline and the medicine. So.
Well, I didn't know about the pipeline, but I was thinking the medicine is what, and I thought, boy, they're coming a long way to have a sign pointing to it.
I was talking to somebody this morning. They were talking that they drive from Del High up to come to Oak Grove, and they got behind a group of trucks coming out of Del High. And she said she counted there were 17 trucks. And they got to Michener Road, which is the parish line road, which heads over to Holly Ridge. She said every one of those trucks, when they got to Michener Road, turned onto Michener Road. Now, Michener Road is not much bigger than a driveway.
Yeah.
And that was just...
And not much better than a
driveway. Yeah, not much better than a driveway.
Your driveway is probably better.
Yeah. So you got to think that was just 17 trucks that she saw. There's no telling what the traffic on.
A lot of work being done here then.
Well,
a lot of it's folks coming in. I'm talking about folks coming in.
But it generates income from the parish. Well, I did hear from somebody that at the medicine center, when they get a little bit more into the start, I guess they're still doing dirt work. But when they start building, they said there would be an 18-wheeler every 90 seconds.
It is crazy.
Wow.
What's been bought up as far as buildings that they're saying that they're going to use for housing of crews and training crews. There's a feed store in Del High that has been sold to, I don't know if it's Meta. Somebody said it was Meta. Somebody said that it's another group. Anyway. The reason they sold the feed store was not for the feed in the store, but for the structure, because they're going to use that structure for some, I don't know if it's training or something for the workers. Mm-hmm. Right across the highway from that is an old hotel. Supposedly that hotel's been bought by either the MediCenter group, Facebook, whoever, and they're going to use that for housing for when it's supposed to be 5,000 to 6,000 workers brought in when the thing is under full construction. What they're doing now is groundwork, dirt work. And boy, have they moved some dirt.
That's what I heard.
I don't know what to expect out of that in the next few years. I think I heard 2030 was an open date on it. Mm-hmm. So, we're still 5 years out. So there's a lot to be done.
It's a huge project. And I haven't been by to see it.
Not either.
Libby, my youngest, has been by there. She said it's looks like a bunch of ants running around
in
big dirt buckets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's they've dug ponds and they've done the for lack of better words, terraforming. They're making the ground what they want it to. They if you're when you're driving home this evening, if you go back down the interstate, look for the dump trucks coming out of Tallulah.
Oh yeah, the now I did notice because we've been to Little Rock. See, living in time too. The concrete plant north of they never had that much rock.
Right.
They got mountains of rock.
And they're moving rock crazy. And I had somebody tell me that you know folks talk is that you can't find a dump truck in West Carroll Parish.
And they're going down Highway 80. They're not getting on the interstate.
Some of them are getting on the interstate. Some are coming. It's traffic is going to be just horrible down there. The further it goes down the road, but you know that again, that's the changing face of our mm-hmm. community. That's been where that work is going on, where the generation plants are being built, where that place is being built, where other entities are supposed to be coming in. All that is agricultural ground that's being taken out. Now, mm-hmm. I'm kind of familiar with that ground. I'm not saying it's bad ground. I'm just saying that ground was wore out years ago. So it's that may be a good use for that ground because it now whether or not putting millions and millions and millions of pounds of on that soft clay ground, I don't know. I just hope they do a lot of dirt work. So.
I don't know, but we've had a lot of fun, a lot of things, the podcast and the videos, and
yeah,
I mean we've had a lot of fun.
And y'all are leaving me.
We're leaving you. You're in charge.
You're in charge.
Y'all know I don't like to be in charge.
it comes a time where we need to turn it over to the younger generation. And mm-hmm. Kylie's not a whole lot younger than us, but she's the younger generation. I tagged Kylie in a meme last year, and it was the guy with the surprise face. I think it was from The Office, and whatever that guy's name is, and it's I think that the meme was when you realize that you are the youngest and that you're now the oldest.
Yeah, it's true.
I turned 40 on Sunday, so it's just coming fast. Yep, it's coming fast. Yep.
I will say something that I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings.
No.
I saw something last night, and it was a thing from the Golden Girls, and it's where Blanche Devereaux says that she's 41.
Yeah.
I've seen those. Those are funny.
So don't feel too bad.
No.
Blanche Devereaux was 41 on the Golden Girls.
That was a good show. That was a good show back in the day. So. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I can remember, I don't remember what meeting we were in all the several years ago. I was back when we were first hired and talking about, I was the millennial or whatever, getting made fun of for being millennial. Well, and millennials are older now.
That's right.
So it's kind of scary.
These Gen Xers are kind of fading into the background. But anyway, no, it's been a fun a fun career. Mine's not over with yet. I'm just taking a different slant, and I'm gonna still be around at least for another 5 or 6 years teaching, and then one of these days I want to drag my boat out and start fishing. That is the one nice thing. The school I'm teaching at, there's a boat ramp about 3/4 of a mile away, so I can mm-hmm. technically take my boat to work with me.
And you get all summer off.
It's a we have a 220 day, and the only reason I call it 220 days because we have to do a plan of work.
Exactly, you're saying it.
220 days. When I signed my contract to start teaching, it was a 170-day contract.
Ooh.
So the math was real easy to do.
Yeah.
It's 50 days less mm-hmm. than what I'm doing now with the Ag Center. So it's pretty neat, pretty cool.
New adventures are always fun.
Well, it's the rarity mm-hmm. of nowadays, even with millennials and with Gen Xers too, that they stay at a job for 30 years or 40 years. you read stuff all the time saying that, you know, for some of these kids coming out of college today, they may change careers 5 or 6, 7 times. And honestly, this will be my 4th career change. Still ag related, still, but this will be my 4th big shift in my 33-year career. So doesn't go too far away.
Ag's a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun over the years. It still is. I went to Kylie's meeting yesterday. I'd get my Burns certificate.
Right, that's, yeah.
You know.
When he burns his fields off, we can shake our fingers at it.
Everybody's looking for me, saying,
you know.
Main thing is I burn them off during corn season. That way nobody knows.
I want to thank everybody for listening to me plathering over the past few years and talking nonsense, and, you know, it's been fun.
Well, I will say this about the podcast. When we started the podcast, we started with a cell phone, a couple of extension cords, and some little
mics.
And then you got involved with us, and now we have all kind of equipment. We have no idea how to use.
I gotta learn all this.
Kyle's gotta learn all this. But I mean, we went the evolution.
Again, technology changes. I mean, we went literally, and you know, the device that we use now is from a company called Zoom, and it makes it where I can tweak the audio levels. Sometimes I do a good job, sometimes not so good. But it makes it a whole lot easier to record on the fly and to do things that otherwise we'd have to have a PC or have something else record for cell phones. Yeah. I mean, so.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, being able to adapt and learn new things. And I mean,
and that's the,
we
that's
figured
the,
it out.
That's the cool
right
thing.
Or wrong, we did.
Right or wrong, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, that's, again, that goes back to the whole extension, working for extension, is the ability to figure out. We've had enough folks that we work with or work for that has said, yeah, if y'all want to do that, great. The issue we get into is we tend to sometimes write checks on ourselves that we can't cash because, yeah, the administration will let us do what we want to do, but you still got to do the other things that go with it, and that's where it gets to be sometimes challenging. So.
2 days a day aren't long enough.
There's not enough hours in the day at times. That is exactly right. And that's not just for us, that's for farmers. We're coming into harvest. What was the guy that told me years ago that he was a farmer from Morehouse Parish? And y'all heard me tell a story about him. Had a great cotton year. I mean, just knocked it out of the park. They picked 3.5 to 4 bale cotton. It was strong cotton. It was really good. And when he got done, he told me he made $3,700. And I said, you know, you made $3,700. I said, no. He said, for the whole year, when I paid everything off, he paid my crop loan back, paid everything off, I had $3,700 left. And, that's just, and that's been 7, 8 years ago. But he had a perfect cotton season and had a phenomenal yield on some really good ground. But it was everything stacked against him. I just, we're here to help support farmers, and that's going to be, I think, in the coming years, that's going to be the thing. So, anyway.
All right, Kylie, what do you think? We talked long enough.
I guess we got to go party now. His retirement party's about to start. I guess we need to go eat some cake or whatever they got back
banana
for
pudding.
You.
Banana pudding.
Oh, that's a good ask. Good choice. Good choice. Yeah. Well, Bruce, we'd love to have you back on anytime. You can bring some of your kids and introduce them to what we do over here. And we're going to miss you. And you're not a stranger. Come anytime you want.
I'm glad to. Thank y'all.
Thank y'all for listening. The Louisiana Delta Crop Podcast is produced by the LSU Ag Center Extension Service. For more information, visit the LSUAgCenter.com website or contact your local extension office.